Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining this and for clicking on this. Today I have an interesting guest who is also a real-time VFX artist who wrapped up her last project not so long ago. And I'll just let her introduce herself. Go ahead.
Hello, nice to meet you, everyone. I'm Coraline Charrier. I'm a French VFX artist, so I'm very sorry for the accent, but we'll try to do my best.
Oh, you don't have to be sorry. I think it's a very charming accent. Yeah, so we were talking before I started recording. We're talking about like different level artists and what would it mean if I just interview artists that are on the high level, like of seniority all the time. And it's like we're saying that at some point we only see like how good people are in their skills, and we kind of don't see as much how or what took them to go through what they had to go through to get to the level that they are right now. Because usually, you know, when you're a senior, you probably dispose of your old work. We don't get to see it. We only get to see like the perfection that you've reached. And I think it's also important to interview people who are on their journey, whoever that is, and just to show that maybe it might take you 6 months to learn a skill or 4 months to learn a skill or a year or two, but then eventually you might be able to land your first job. So I wanted to ask you, and do you mind if I call you Caroline?
Just Cora is okay.
Cora. Okay. Yeah. I wanted to ask you, when did you start learning real-time VFX and how was your journey thus far?
Oh, it was very peculiar because before working as a VFX artist, I was a 3D animator. And I want to learn VFX, but for anime, movies, and series, not for video games at all.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, I didn't meet anyone who was able to have the time to teach me VFX like that. But I met some people who were working in video games industry. And they told me, hey, I know it's not you, what you want to do, but if you want, I have this knowledge and I can share. She did. Why not? I have some time to kill, and right now I'm between two projects, so okay, I will give it a shot. And I fall in love with real-time VFX and not being able to see everything right away when you're doing stuff in the engine, like mm-hmm. Unreal and Unity,
mm-hmm.
was so cool compared to animes and series where you have to compile every time.
Yeah.
And after that, I just tried to find other people who were able to teach me more about that. And I was very lucky to meet up these people.
Wow, what a journey. And so I wanted to ask you, basically started with drawing the frames. That's what your background comes from, right? So you did frame-by-frame animations, I suppose?
No, it was mostly animation thanks to 3ds Max.
Uh-huh.
But I was working with a 3D app, but it's like a 12 frame per second. It was cartoony kind of animation.
Yeah.
I didn't work on something more realistic. Only I work on, for example, Gigantosaurus. It's It's published in Disney Channel right mm-hmm. now. It's about dinosaur doing a kind of weird stuff, having adventures all day long, and it was very cartoony animation with a lot of distortion, so the mm-hmm. rhythm was very important in that project. It was one of my favorite of all time.
Wow.
It's so fun to animate because the stretch and squash roll and stuff like that, you have to push it to the extreme in order to make it work. So
cool. So how come real-time VFX in games and not where you come from, usually the 3D animation, because usually games also require that or need that a lot, right?
Yeah.
So how come you went that way and not this way, I guess?
Because even if I really love 3D animation, what I like the most is learning new things. Not being able to do anything else that animating was very hard for me because I needed to be focused on one thing all day long. And it was complicated to have this kind of dedication.
Yeah.
That's why I really love VFX, because you have to learn a lot of skills all the time in various fields. Everything is useful, so you can work on the muzzle flash one day and going to see, hey, how fluids work for the waterfall and stuff.
Yes,
like that.
Yes, absolutely.
And thanks to that, I was more content with that. It was like choosing between being an actor or magician.
And
I really love
being
a wizard. So a wizard.
That's way better cool. to say. Yeah. No worries. Yeah, you're absolutely right there. And I wanted to ask, because you're the first real-time VFX artist that I've met that comes from animation background, like pure animation background. So you probably have mastered the 12th principle of animations, I would say. Right?
Yes and no.
Tell me.
Because in animated series, it's very different than in video games. So the rhythm is different, the aim is different. So a lot of things that I thought that was working in anime doesn't work at all in a real game. They've even applied to VFX, because in animation, we need time to build that movement in order to put the emphasis of what we want to show.
Yeah.
In video games, the gameplay is king. If the animation is really great, but it doesn't serve the gameplay, it will feel odd. And I have to adapt that to VFX as well. So it's the same and different at the same time.
See, this is why I really wanted to have you on. Like, it really does not matter in real-time VFX where one is, because we all come from different experiences and we all come from different backgrounds, that we can all learn something from someone, right? Like, I don't feel that there is... and I talked to my last guest about it. He said... this junior, mid-level, senior is only describing, at least in real-time VFX, it only describes how much help do you need to achieve the work that you need to do. But as to levels of like your quality of work, we all come from different backgrounds and we all learn like from different people. Especially like when there's many visual effects or like real-time visual effects artists in a team, which is super rare to find. And even in bigger teams, you might find like 3 dedicated ones or 4 dedicated people for that.
Yeah.
That is why it's so important for us to have a community. So I wanted to ask you, where do you get your like sense of community with real-time VFX?
First, with the people I met in real life, because before that, since I didn't know anything about the field, it was very important for me. And when I began to learn everything about VFX, everything I can, I really used the VFX Apprentice website.
Mm-hmm.
It was a huge help for me to meet some new people too. And after that, I also went to the RT VFX Discord channel.
Mm-hmm.
But I was mostly a lurker because I'm pretty shy. So
same.
It's a bit difficult for me to reach out to people.
Yeah,
it's easier to do it in real life, weirdly enough. So when I moved in Montreal, I began to look for events around the game industry to meet new people there. And just to chat first and then ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it was mostly reaching out people on our station or LinkedIn to ask questions about their project.
Interesting.
But it's just a bit difficult for me to be proactive in a big community. I'm way better in one-on-one meetings. Or
I'm so glad you said that, because I have the same thing. I really would like to be active on those Discord servers that are super shiny and beautiful, but I don't do good. I'm so shy. Maybe it's a skill I have to improve on, but I do way better in one-on-one, right? So that's why I'm doing the podcast. I think you mentioned reaching out on ArtStation, like having this one-on-one way to communicate with people.
Yeah.
I think it's people like us, honestly, we just favor... I don't know. I don't want to diss other people, but I guess I look at it like this. Like I do favor quality time over quantity. You know, does that make sense? I feel like those Discord servers are a really good way when I'm stuck, I can't find the solution, right? I go down there and I just like, hey, you know, I've Googled this, I've ChatGPT'd this, I've done that and this, but hey, can someone help me here? I feel like it's a great community to do the act, like actually that, but to just chat with like random people who are maybe 15 of them active in a group, I can't do that. Even in real life, like when there's a setting of like a group of people meeting up, I can like, it's like a switch I could turn off and turn on, but I cannot, I don't look back at it and say, yeah, that was like, yeah, it was helpful, or I feel proud or something. Do you have the same?
Yeah, I feel you. I have exactly the same problem. That's why I began to go on VFX Apprentice Discord at first, because it was there was less people when I began to learn things in this channel.
Yeah,
and so it was very easy just to go there and chat with one of two people, because there wasn't that much a person connected in the same time.
Yeah.
But after a while, more and more people were getting there, and I was very happy, but it was more and more difficult for me.
You also, it's inhumane to keep up with the conversation that is like 24/7 happening, right?
Yeah, I can't do that. I don't have enough free time to have to follow that. I should, but I can't.
I reflect on it, I feel bad a little bit. Like, I should really be social and like reach out to all those amazing artists and whatever. But at the same time, like, wow, man, I have so much to do. Like, not only job, but also like intimate time with my wife, right? Like having the night off and not check my phone all the time. I honestly don't know how people do it. I have no idea. But that's why people are different, and that's like why I feel like we complete each other in that sense. Like, you have the people who are, like my previous guest, Manos, who is really active on those servers, who is probably, he is an admin on some of them.
Okay.
So he keeps it going like a wheel. He's like the water that hits the wheel, right? And keeps it spinning. So that when I have a question, people are still active, you know? And then that is, yeah, it's just, it comes on full circle, I feel. And there's people who's like me and you, right? So we have a one-on-one conversation. And we kind of, I don't know, it feels more personal this way, I think. Yeah?
Yeah, it's feel more personal, and it's also easier to focus on the right thing, the right questions to ask, and not to be overwhelmed by too much information in the same time.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. So the question is, I guess, have you ever considered making your own podcast? Probably not, right?
No.
Nah.
No. To be honest, no. I didn't have the time, and it's not been that long that I'm comfortable enough with my English speaking.
Your English is really, really, really good. You don't have to worry about that at all. Like,
thank you.
Really, seriously, like I wouldn't if I were in your shoes, like I would not worry about that. Nah, not at all. So can you tell us a little bit about how you started learning and landed a job, and how much time that was, the difficulty of it?
It took me a lot more time than I would love have liked to, because there was COVID.
Yeah.
And during COVID, I had a lot of free time because I was between two jobs, and that's how I began to learn just a little bit of VFX. It was like on 1 month session with a friend of a friend, trying to build up a teaching program for, to sell. So we were his guinea pig. And it was very interesting because I had access to highly professional kind of teaching.
Cool.
And we were only four people for that.
Cool. Yeah. Do you know the platform or are you not allowed to?
No, we were doing it thanks to Discord.
Yeah.
And it was live, so I had to be there every time. Mm-hmm. It was with Boris Vaudran, who is working with Riot now in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, I began to work again, and I had to put a stop to that. But I also didn't really know what kind of app I want to use.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I began to learn Toon Boom Harmony in mm-hmm. order to learn how to do 2D VFX for animated series.
Yes.
And I wasn't so sure what I want to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So after a while, I say, hey, I don't like working in the anime industry anymore. What can I do? And what do I need to do in order to learn VFX more faster? And I realize that because animation really needs this kind of time and dedication, aside work, if I was keeping my job as a 3D animator, I wouldn't be able to work in the VFX before a very long time because I didn't have the energy to learn any. So after my contracts, I didn't seek for a new one. I took just a job in order to earn a living, the minimum wage I wanted to have, and I began to learn mm-hmm. by myself for 3 years.
Wow, that's long. Yeah. Okay.
It was longer than I wanted to do because, unfortunately, life.
Yeah, of course.
I had a lot of pets to take care of, so mm-hmm. I need a lot of bread on my table.
Yes. Mostly cats, right? Or
I had two cats, one bunny, and two rats.
Oh, two rats. They're cool. Right, but cats and rats, does that even fit?
Because my cats were very well behaved. I didn't know that before having the rats and the cats together. So they knew the difference between the pets and wildlife.
Wow. Okay. That's very interesting. Because I would think like their instinct would control them. But wow.
For one of them, it was very complicated. But the other one was she was the mother, so she was the one leading the house.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have to ask which one of them was leading the house, it was the bunny. Definitely the bunny.
Okay.
So nasty bunny, but so cute.
Oh, wow. So you were learning for 2 years on your own. How were you able to be the breadwinner while still doing all of that?
Oh, I was working too much, to be honest. And way too much, but in the same time, since it was the first time ever I was beginning to learn something like that, so I look for reference on research.
Yeah.
Like, I read a few books about how to learn fast and efficiently.
Yeah.
And I was also looking for a way to work from home.
Mm-hmm.
And without having to learn new skills.
Okay, what was that then?
I work for webtoons industry and cool. for comics books.
Yeah, that works. But how so? What was your job?
I think in English it's called lettering. So I was in charge of putting the translation in the webtoons.
Okay.
Be sure that everything fits.
Yeah.
Including the, I don't have the word in English. The boom, the cracks, the sounds.
Yes. Sounds effects. Yeah, the SFX.
Yeah, the SFX. And in the same time, for comics books, it was mostly setting the files in order for the comics to be print in Europe.
Yeah.
And because I knew everything about the different apps that I was using,
yeah.
they didn't have teach me anything. They just have to give me the how to do, and I could do everything by myself instead of asking two or three people to do it.
Yep. So you were the generalist they needed basically to do the job. That's amazing.
Yeah,
That's
and in
amazing.
order to earn more and to have the time to learn, I was in what they call the emergency call. So if they had
Yeah.
some issues because an author was sick and there were people who couldn't show up this day because they need someone,
Yeah.
I was there to do everything from A to Z
Wow.
in 1 or 2 days instead of 1 or 2 weeks.
And that was your job for 2 years, or did you like change jobs, and was it like
It was my job for 3 years. I began to do it while I was still a 3D animator in order to have a side job. And in the same times, at the end of the 3rd year, because I began to know a little bit more about VFX and Unreal Engine, I began to teach classes in a school when I was
Awesome.
in Bordeaux, for mostly for discovering Unreal Engine, setting up scene, and how to begin to learn VFX, the basics that I knew. And the most important thing was the classes I was giving about how to learn by yourself and how to improve by yourself later.
Cool, I think I need to attend that.
It was one of my favorite classes, and the students really love it. It was small classes, but it was fun because with small classes you can do personal project together. So even if they didn't knew a lot, we were able to do like magic storms or weather effect or stuff like that because we had the time to explore together and to learn with each other. It was very fun to do.
I feel like that's what online courses are missing, honestly, this ability to get all in together in one room,
Teach me
physically, and have different things to do. We can't purchase that. We have to just depend on events that are happening that way. Like I don't think I have encountered an online school that offers similar treatments to their courses, for example. It's almost always that you pay for it, and even if you're going in it with like students, other students, you don't do things together. You just like look at each other's works with the assignment that you've been given, and it's like, why are we not using it? Why are we not doing something together? Because like that would have been amazing. And almost always the answer is, well, that would be its own thing, and we don't have enough people to do all of that stuff. And it's like, yeah, but if we don't innovate, what are we doing, right? We're just paying for a course where I'm 100% depending on myself, while like there's so much potential to make it closer to a real workshop scenario, you know, where you're working with other people or communicating with other people. But yeah, what do you feel about that?
It will be very, very cool. So I was dreaming about it, but I also knew because I tried to build small projects from times to times in order to just work in a small scene, a little bit like the waterfall that I showed you earlier. Because for me, it was easier to work with something
A
with
group.
contact. And I was thinking, hey, if we are different kind of artists, why can't we do that together? But the most difficult things that I found is having the time to do it together and to planify to have a scheduled time. Because if you don't have the schedule, people will have difficulties to show up. And when I realized that, I began to seek for people who wanted to make a game by themselves and who need a VFX artist, even if it was a student kind of stuff or just something on the side, because for me it was way easier to learn that way than just by myself. And after that, when we were talking about one-on-one meeting, when I began to ask people about, hey, that kind of effect, it was interesting because a few of them, it was like, I have these issues. Here's my logic. It doesn't work. Do you have time to think about it with me, or how do you did it in this kind of project? Because I feel it's kind of the same. And for some people, they were very happy just to think about it because it's like, hey, I have a puzzle there. Do you want to give it a try? And it was interesting. Sometimes we didn't find a solution right away, or sometimes they didn't have the time to, and that's normal because life. But it was a way to go around the fact that we don't have that much workshop in VFX, or we don't do much things together. We are learning together, but we're not making things together.
That's like a huge gap in the market to capitalize on, I feel, or just to, even if you don't want to capitalize on and offer it, but just like, I guess profit should be also a motivator here. Because like you don't want to do something that you can't say you're profiting from, I guess. And what we do is valuable in the sense of if we gather now five different real-time VFX artists together and we put them we make them like create a asset, right? We could sell that on Unity Store or something, and then they could get the share of that. So not only putting people together to solve a problem and then nothing comes out of it, but also having the excuse of saying like, you know what, you're doing something that you that might be profitable. I mean, ideally you would have a an asset company that already makes assets and offers spots for juniors to come in, get paid, and create a new asset for them. So they have like a real time, no pun intended there, but like a real time production environment experience, which we lack in the way the education is set up right now, which is purely online. Few schools do teach. Probably VFX Apprentice is like the most popular one. We need more innovation. That's how I feel about it. I see it. I also say it proudly. We need more innovation. We need more, because what we do is like related to so many different sectors of art. We need to meet each other's. Those who know more about the code will teach us how to optimize our work, as we spoke before the podcast, before we recorded. The optimization is a huge part of the job, but then you lack the explanation on how that works. There's no full program that teaches you everything from A to Z. You kind of have to either learn on the job, make mistakes on the job, which could be heavy, right? You could even lose your own job if you do so. And there's no resources, there's no manual to what we do. Unreal Engine has a manual, but we don't have a manual, which is sad. And I hope someone take the initiative to do that. I know that Mad VFX is doing some initiative in that direction. I really wish them the best that they get to what they're planning to do because they're planning a lot of stuff. So yeah, I really hope that we will have that manual.
Me too. But in the same time, it's I have to admit it, I do like the fact that it's mostly research because what I like in this field, it's yeah, there is a lack of documentation of procedure for some of the stuff we are making. But in the same time, because there isn't any rules, you have to be creative to find a way to make it work, despite the fact that you're lacking knowledge in some field, but you have other kind of knowledge in other. For example, I never code anything. The stuff that can relate, can be close enough, will be scripting in Photoshop, and that's all. So just recording the kind of the way I want the app to work, and the other stuff I don't do that. I will love to learn it. I don't know where to start,
Same, yeah.
but in the same times, personally, I found it thrilling because it's like, hey, there is this new land that you have just in front of you.
Exactly.
Where do you want to start?
Yeah, absolutely. I have the same feeling. I guess that's why real-time VFX hooked me, like, for real, because there's always an area to expand on. There's always something you could do better, and those are so different. Like, you could be better at coding. That could, you know, if you got really good at coding, you probably make a whole game. You can always get better at, like, visual coding as well, which is, like, more technical artist type of stuff. That could also land you interesting opportunities. But I do feel that real-time VFX is a step away from being a technical artist. I do feel that a lot. But that doesn't mean a real-time VFX artist can't do tech art stuff, because it is included in the job. I feel like if more of us, because like it's not a must to have to be able to code,
yeah,
to be a real-time VFX artist. I guess I have to explain it myself a little bit here, but it is a requirement to know how to code. If you are a technical artist, it's expected of you. I always wanted to be a technical artist. That was like my goal. Just happens to be that on my journey there, I'm learning real-time visual effects, which is a good entry, I would say, but also its own field. I do wish to be the person who would be able to implement all the work on their own. However, that's not a must. Like, you must not do that, but like you could. That could be a cool thing I could do. Or to understand how HLSL, for example, works, to create shaders for mobile or whatever. I feel like that's an interesting field to dive into. Like you said, it's just like it's there, it's waiting for you. And I wanted to go back to your point of saying learning efficiently, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned that you were even teaching about that. So I wanted to ask you, what is all of that about? Tell us the secrets.
A few things, and I can't talk about it without talking about one of my mentors, who is Steven Chung, who is a VFX artist. He taught me a lot about VFX artist best practice.
Mm-hmm.
And so he helped me to realize that what we used to learn in school or sometimes in on the internet on regarding VFX or other kind of stuff, we were very, very disorganized in the way we are just naming things or just how we wanted to learn things, because we didn't have any aim behind it besides getting a job in the field. But if we were thinking about actual project we want to work on, yeah, most of us didn't. Hey, okay, I would like to work with this kind of organization or not, with this company or not, but we weren't sure what kind of VFX we want to show to people. Most of the time, see, I want to do it all. And that's cool, because meaning that you want to learn it all. But in the same times, on the short run, if you want to schedule your time, learning it all is not doable at all. So thanks to that, I began to make some research. I found a book called Ultra Learning.
Ultra Learning, okay.
Yeah, very interesting, mostly because it can be applied to everything you want to learn. It has its limitation, but to make it short, it was defining the goal that you aim to,
yeah,
and then defining again and again in smaller step. And first step was analyzing the market you want to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Then to make some research about what's available. What knowledge is available easily, not easily, does it need money or not, how much time you need to do. It was a lot like analyzing and make it your learning more scientific and less based on your emotion.
Okay.
So it was a bit hard because sometimes you want to learn what you love to, but a lot of times you also have to learn stuff that you don't like to do,
Yeah.
like maths or stuff like that, because you really need it to do your job.
Yeah.
And that's what I was teaching, how to do these steps, how to analyze, how to find the resources. That was the most important thing in what I learned. And then how to apply it and how to organize it in order to make it more believable or just in order to reach the kind of job you want.
Okay, and do you have a template that you use to reach those goals?
I used to have one that I sent to my students. I think I still have this one. Now I'm just doing it all over again when there is some small knowledge that I want to acquire in a short amount of time. For example, my next project, small project, I just want to learn a bit more about vector fields. And but I don't want just to do it in Blender or in the engine and nothing less. I just want to integrate it in something. So I'm just in the state of planification, but I want to know which scene will I use, in which context I will need the vector fields. What can I use the vector fields for? So how much time do I want to spend on it? Will I need it for my work or not? If it's just for me, is it anything else I can learn that I will enjoy to learn? Because right now I have a job, so I can do that. And that I will need now or later for the future job I want to. And then I begin to work after that. But planification is a big first step for me. If I don't have the planification done, I don't begin a new project.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense. And I think what you're doing is you're asking yourself the right questions before starting,
Yeah.
which
So.
is very important for purpose, I guess, right? So you're not
Yeah.
disoriented or disorganized.
Yeah, and also because I'm a huge fan of efficiency.
Oh, yeah.
I like when things is well organized in my work because like that I can do more, and that's why I was able to learn and have two to three works in the same times, because otherwise I would not
Yeah,
be.
I was about to say, yeah, that's so true. That's crazy.
So,
Okay. Now this is a really important skill to have. I'm really glad I had you on because there's one way if I had a one conversation with everybody, it would have been, something that keeps repeating itself, But like
yeah.
having a conversation with people who like have looked into learning and then that could break it down for others because I've always had troubles with learning, honestly, since I was a child. So, and I am diagnosed with ADHD, so that always have been a struggle until this day. The thing that I'm doing and I'm learning has to be, it must be interesting. It must be fun. Otherwise, I would lose interest. And I've noticed that again and again. Well, I'll be interested in learning something. I'd be super motivated to start it, but then I just abandon the project. It's also like one of the side effects of having ADHD that a lot of people have this problem. So I guess when you're breaking down learning like this, asking yourself the proper questions before starting, you kind of are giving yourself a talk. Telling yourself like, okay, I know you're interested in this, Jack, but is it usable for your job? And if the answer is no, then don't learn it. You will probably lose patience in it, or you wouldn't like to start with it. You are shaking your head there. Tell me.
Yeah, in fact, most of the time, if I for this kind of project, if I know that I can't use it in the work I'm doing right now, or if I have to wait a little bit because I don't have the skill yet, if it's too technical for me yet, I never toss it completely. I put it on the side and I say, hey, okay, maybe right now I really want to learn that. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else I can learn that will interest me more, or worst case scenario, at least just a little less?
Yeah.
But, so that way it's easier to convince yourself that, hey, we are not letting the things you like go.
I love that.
You have to wait just a little bit more before
yeah.
being able to do it, because we are lucky enough to work in the VFX field that is very fun, because I feel you regarding ADHD. So sometimes it's a bit difficult to stay focused all the time, and sometimes it's also easy to lose interest because it's less fun. But if you begin to break down your goals, another way to do it too is just to turn around your project in order to make it the most interesting things possible. How do you call it? For example, the waterfall. I didn't really want to work on water or doing underwater kind of stuff because at the time it wasn't what interested me for this project. But what I really loved too at the time I did it, I was beginning to watch again a lot of Ghibli movies, and I said, hey, I want to do something in the same style, and I was supposed to work on the waterfall right now because I didn't have any water effect that I liked in what I was doing. So why not?
Yeah.
And that's why I began to work on that project, because I wanted to have some anime style, but not exactly pure 2D, having some kind of in between. And it was fun to do because I was trying to recreate an atmosphere that I saw in movies that I like.
Yeah. And I think you were able to recreate that in a really beautiful way, especially the night version of it. I really like that one. It's very atmospheric, and I think it's a key to visual effects to make things atmospheric. There's not as much talk about environmental effects, but they're needed. Like when you're on a job, one of the main things that you might get feedback on, like from the publisher themselves, is that the game is too static. Like we need something to keep things moving. That's why wind lines exist, right? They simulate an atmosphere. Or in Elden Ring, they use a lot of those embers, you know, fire embers around the environment to simulate that something is going on. Otherwise, 3D is unfortunately too static. I really appreciate that effect. And if people want to see it, I will link your art station below. It's very atmospheric. Let's go back a bit to efficiency. I feel like efficiency is very important in our field. We're almost always onboarded on project too late. Like, we're asked to do lists of effects within a time frame that is extremely unrealistic. It happened to me, not with the current job that I have, but as an offer, I was offered a freelance thing. It was like, we need 70 effects in 20 days, and they must be this and that and this. I was like, yeah, good luck finding someone. Just good luck finding someone. Not even senior level people will be able to sit down and give you those effects, because what we do, it needs research, it needs reference gathering, it needs sitting down with the developers, with the programmers, with even the art. What does the art director want? What is happening? Like, how can we... Do we need to recreate physics here because of the art style? Or do we need to imitate life? Like, there's so much to it.
Yeah, I agree. It was one of the difficult parts of when I was landing my first job as a VFX artist. Having a deadline and When I began to work as a VFX artist, I was the only one VFX artist. I'm still are today, but in different company. But the most difficult part was to be able to know how much time you have and you need to make an FX. And it was something that I learned very hard in a very short of time. But we managed to do something together. It was way easier after a while. But when you begin, I think it's the worst because you don't have this knowledge. You don't know yourself regarding how you work, how you were able to produce VFX, and how much time you're taking it. But with the time, because you're taking some habits, because you, if you're able to organize your files correctly, you can reuse a lot of stuff that you have.
Exactly. Hey, I like that. We understand each other. We understand each other. That's nice. It's a great advice.
So sometimes it's it just begin to be easier and easier with the time. I
Exactly.
think the first year is the most challenging regarding adaptation, and after that it's getting a little bit better.
Yeah, I split the work into concepting. So first you need the reference gathering and time to do the concepts. Here where you really have to, if it's not a lot of time, really go ahead and ask your art director, like, hey, how you're envisioning these effects. Just take 30 minutes, let them do some sketches. Seriously, like this is very important. Then you have the creation. So that's where you're creating the systems. They do not have to look perfect. The timing does not have to be perfect, but you're creating the effects as systems. What do I mean by systems? Systems are like if you're creating the shader for the explosion smoke, if you're creating the meshes for the explosion smoke, and then the general direction of that and the parameters you're going to use. So those parameters are things you could change on the go. Then that's creation, basically, which is the so far the third step, I think. Well, no, it's the second step. The third step is to make variation of those systems. Because once you create a systems, now you could create variations. So variations are like colors, timing, spawn styles. So for example, if it's something that spawns from one point in this direction, or if it's a sphere thing. So for example, an explosion you could reuse again for moving, like smoke that comes after after the character when it's moving. You can use the same meshes, the same system almost. And then you have your implementation. Once you're in implementation, you need to make sure things are in the game. Again, they don't have to be perfect. And then once the implementation is done, you're getting feedback. That's your feedback iteration. It's the fifth step. And the sixth step, I think, is just polishing and fixing stuff. And every effect has to go through those. Not every effect has to go through creation. But
Very good.
every effect has to go through creation in the beginning, yeah, because you're creating the systems.
I agree. I work exactly like that. But
Amazing.
sometimes I have to squeeze the concept part because we have the timing issues.
Yeah.
And for the easiest effect, I can just do something very quick. And I'm lucky enough, the team I'm working with, they are very they have a lot of faith in me, more than I have in myself. So.
But that's the way to go, though. That's the only way to go, I feel.
So I was lucky enough to have a lot of range regarding what I'm creating, so that's very cool. And for smaller effects, sometimes I have to squeeze some of the steps because we don't have the time to spend too much on it because it's a small effect.
But just to explain to the viewers, when you say squeeze, you're probably meaning you're still doing it, but in the creation phase. So you're doing concepting in real time. So you're
That's right.
creating and concepting at the same time, which is
Yeah,
something I
I
had to do too. And you have to be flexible like that. So to people who thinking concepting is only 2D, if you're not good at drawing, it's not always 2D. You can start concepting by just gathering reference. Once that approved, then you can make a variant of that, create it from the bottom up, create it in a way that you will have to reuse it, because then you will start cutting off the time, production time, basically.
That's right. And I was about to add that most of the time I just gather a lot of reference saying, hey, I think this kind of effect with this kind of effect, put it
Yeah.
together,
Yeah.
it will work. Yeah, are you sure? Yes, it will
It
work.
will
I
work.
think.
Oh man, this is amazing that we're talking about this because like that's been my last year like working on this project, and it's like nice to relate and to see that other real-time VFX artists are actually facing, you know, the same challenges. I don't want to call it problem. It's a challenge, but I think even the more reason for us to like communicate with each other because we do have those unique problem solving. And sometimes people are stuck, and it's like, let's make a way to share our knowledge. And if it's a podcast, so be it. If it's a blog, amazing. You know, I feel like it's very important to have those conversations.
I agree. So even in our team, we sometimes spend time just to talk about the issues we met during the production because it's a way to have other brain to work around it. Because if you don't have the knowledge as a visual artist, maybe your dev will have a solution that will really help you instead of just trying to turn your brain in for half because you can't manage to find a
Yeah.
solution by yourself.
Yeah.
But
Sometimes just reach for help or stop working. I found is very important. Stop drilling. Go sleep, have good sleep. Like in the beginning of the project, it was really hard to sleep, but I've had to stop working. I had to stop worrying and stop working. And also, another advice I found is low hanging fruit. You know what that means?
No,
So,
not at all.
tasks that are really close to completion, do those.
Okay.
Like, don't abandon the thing that is so close to being completed. Like, for example, you created a smoke system. And the other tasks now are easier to do. You need to have a day just for you completing those small tasks that are really easy to do. You can get them going, low hanging fruit, so to speak, because then those will reward you. You will feel so good about yourself that moving forward, then now the next creation task is maybe easier, and so on. Listen, we're approaching the end, so I wanted to ask you if there's any other topic you would like to talk about or something you want to promote. It's something I ask every guest, but the last 8 minutes just to prepare, like to say goodbye to everybody.
To promote, not quite much, but I just want to say that if you're beginning to learn VFX, don't worry, it's hard, that's normal. You will suffer, that's also normal.
Normal.
But it's really rewarding because there is a lot of wonderful people in the VFX field. There is a lot of interesting people who want to share their knowledge.
Yeah.
You can always try just to reach out of these people, me included, if you want to have knowledge about anything. If I can help, I will help. Just don't, how do you say that? Don't put it aside if you really don't want to learn VFX because I know that it can be challenging and that a lot of people can just wondering if it's really for them or not. If
Yeah.
it is, just keep going. If it is not, you will find another things to do.
Yeah.
There is a lot of stuff in the 3D to learn that was very interesting, including animation.
Including animation, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you. Real-time VFX can be very disorganized because you have a lot of skills to learn to master the principle. Including animation, including 2D sometimes, not always. But yeah, you're needed to do textures. Some people do it with hand. Some people don't like to draw, so they just do it in Substance Designer or Material Maker or whatever it is. There's always a way. That's the beauty of being a generalist. And you know what? If you're even coming from like a zero background and you want to learn real time, it's a good all-rounder to have in the beginning. And you know, if you don't like it, then at least you've learned about Blender, you've learned about animations, which are very important, you know, for anything that moves. I feel. It also has, it teaches like the basic knowledge about art, right? Like contrast, levels, you know, meaning color levels, color theory, composition is also another one. But all of that also with time and certain rules as well, like game rules, game design, which is something everybody kind of is interested in these days. But anyway, listen, it's been great having you on. I will pivot to the viewers now and say, hey, everyone, thank you so much for watching this far. I hope this was an interesting conversation that helped you in any way, especially the part about learning. We all come from somewhere, and you know what? I'll be having many, many more guests on, so leave a like and subscribe if you enjoyed this podcast. I'll leave the final word to you.
Oh. The final word for me?
Yes.
Thank you all for listening to this podcast, and thanks to you for giving me this time. And just keep learning, because it's one of the most wonderful things to do for me. So I hope you will share it too.
Awesome. I'll keep the thumbnail, and I'll put just keep learning next to your portrait. I think that's a great title. All right, everyone. Take care, and I see you in the next one. Bye-bye.